If you're afraid of doing something, that is the sign. It's exactly what you should be doing because that's how you get better.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the Heads Up Advisor podcast on another episode here. Today, we are talking about sales versus marketing. What sales is, what marketing. A lot of us tend to believe in this industry that sales is marketing. What do you think, Craig?
Yeah. Same coin, different sides. Sales is not marketing.
You know, over the last 2 years, as I've studied marketing inside and out, I realized how much I don't know about it and thought sales was marketing, especially when you use the word telemarketing. But the reality is they're very different. You look at the bigger corporations, they have departments for each, right? You have salespeople, but you also have a marketing department bringing in the leads.
Exactly. And that's a foreign concept to people in the health insurance industry. What have we been telling them for the last year? We're actually in the marketing business and no one ever told us that. They told us that we just needed more product knowledge and you could outsell the other guy or the other gal. And it was a lie.
Yeah, I think you went to the Darren Hardy event and said, I said, what'd you get out of it? And you said, I got that we're in the marketing business and we don't know how to market.
For sure. I mean, who got trained in marketing? No, what they do, they train you on, you know, high deductible, HSA, DPC, self-funding, and on and on. And this never-ending chase of squirrel.
I think most of us are good in sales and that's how we fall into these roles and become a salesperson and then go independent or work for a smaller firm and then we're left to prospect and marketing on our own. And I see a lot of, you know, the most successful brokers I talk about it time and time again are always the best marketers. They don't know everything. They don't act like they know everything, but they really know how to get in front of people. So we want to talk a little bit today about the distinction between the two so you have an understanding and maybe where you need to pick up in your business now from a marketing standpoint, because that's probably where most of us fail.
Yeah, where's it going to come from next year, right? It's so easy when you ask everybody, hey, what are your goals for 2020? Everybody has a number in mind, right? And they write the number down and you look at it and everybody talks about it, rah, rah, rah. How are you going to do that? How many customers will it take to generate that number? What's your average revenue per customer? How are you going to prospect that size customer, right? And you just start to scratch the surface and you realize, you know, a lot of people don't have a game plan because they don't know how to market.
Yeah, they have these goals in the new year and they just come up with a number, but it's how do you get to it? How do you work backwards? I mean, I started, it was always telemarketing. That's all I knew. I didn't know all these other avenues work. I just figured I still would work backwards. I come up with a number. I figure out how many cases that is, which means how many appointments I have to book. And to get that many appointments, I had to make a certain amount of calls, me or my telemarketer. So that's how I always figured it out. But I want to talk, let's just go into marketing. So marketing is strictly, look at it as your funnel. Okay, how we're going to bring people in, how people we're going to tell our story to, right? You see us with Heads Up Advisor, we're putting videos out, emails, so on and so forth, social media. There's so many ways to market in today's world that didn't exist before. Not to say they're all effective. I think they're all part of the game. I've tested them. They work. Some may work better than other in certain situations. I still believe in telemarketing. It's the fastest way to get in front of prospects. But I think everything else enhances itself. So you talk about a couple things in the marketing world, and obviously cold calling is one of them. You've got video. I think the video game provides massive credibility, okay, if you know what you're talking about.
Sure. But compared to the prospect, everybody sounds like they know what they're talking about.
Yeah, and it's can be a validation point. But you can tell your message. If you go to my website, you'll see I have the interview in Times Square, and it's just me telling my core story, right? If you don't have a core story, you need to get one. What is a core story? It's really your elevator pitch. Here's what I do. Here's who I do it for. You'll see in the video, it's very psychological. Here's what most people think. Here's why they're wrong. Here's what they should be doing, right? And here's where you can contact me. So it provides a quick story to pitch them, right? A lot of marketing can do the selling for you. Nobody realizes that. I didn't realize that it makes it a sure hell easier if you can do marketing and your marketing can sell them.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, you just start with who are my prospects? Who do I want to sell to? And where are they? Where do they go to get information? Where do they go to further their career? Can I meet them there? Do I need to speak on stage? Do I need to write? Do I need to do videos? Do I need to do a portal where they can watch and self-discover with no pressure on them? You know, it's really a function of figure out, do I sell to human resource managers? Do I sell to CFOs? Do I sell to small business owners? Once you establish that, then, you know, the next step's very simple. What's the lifetime value of a customer? How much do you make? Is it a one-time pop? Is it an annually recurring revenue stream? How much is that? How long do you keep an average client? Forever is not realistic. So, you know, if you come up with $10,000 a year for 7 years, great. You know, you make $70,000 on a new prospect that you want to go after that fits who you're comfortable talking to. You know where they go. You know where to meet them. Now the only question is, well, how much would you be willing to invest in marketing to get a $70,000 revenue stream? It better be more than $7. So once we know that, then you can begin the journey of marketing. What do you think?
Yeah, you got to pick who you're good with. Everybody out there is not good with every personality, right? You talk about Tony Robbins' Six Human Needs. We're talking about it on an upcoming podcast and talked about it at High Stakes Advising.
Yeah.
And listen, not everybody's good with each particular personality. I've gotten worse and worse with HR. I was pretty good with them in the beginning, and I've lost patience, and I'm just not good with them anymore. I'm better straight shooter, and that's who I sell to. So I know I'm not going to market to HR. I'm not going to do well there. I don't come off well anymore there. I just don't. So like you said, pick your audience, pick your avatar, as I would call them. Just from a marketing standpoint, you talk about budget. So just guys, so you guys have an understanding, that the standard in the industry is 8 to 12% of gross revenue spent on marketing. So call 10%. If you have a $500,000 book of business, that means you should be spending about $4,000 or $5,000 a month towards marketing, right? What is marketing? So we can talk about a couple things. Obviously, telemarketing is one of them. So if you have a sales agent, right, and you're making them telemarket, well, essentially that is some marketing as well, because what a lot of agencies are doing is hiring young sales guys to bang the phones, maybe to turn them into agents, but you're going out and selling them for them, and that's fine. They're your marketing arm. Maybe they stay, maybe they don't. They stay great.
Let me give you an exercise that I went through with a marketing guy. You take the revenue that you bring in. You go, okay, so what does it cost you to run your agency? So let's say it costs you 33% just to keep the math easy. So a dollar comes in, 33% overhead, E&O, rent, blah, 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 right? You got 67 cents left. How much do you got to pay your producers? Oh, a third, right? So now you got selling, general administrative overhead, sales commissions, 33%. So now you're trying to net 33%. Now that would be really high actually compared to most of the published data. It's probably for most agencies more like 20, 25. And so the point being, you take what it costs to run your agency. That's your gross profit margin. Take out the sales commission you got to pay, and now you know what you're going to net. So you're going to know what you can invest based on what you can net, right? So you just use your numbers. You got to analyze your numbers. I mean, it's more about math than anything else. Once you know that, you know how much you can spend to get a new prospect that fits your model to generate that amount of revenue. And now the only question is, how many times do I got to reach them? How do I reach them? You got a price tag that you know. You may not be able to see the result tomorrow, this week, next month, but you know if you keep doing it and you measure the results, that as soon as you convert one of them, you're going to get the revenue target.
I think it's hard for a lot of us to invest in marketing because it's an unknown, right? We don't know. We don't know when it's going to come. And particularly, we're going to cover another podcast, short game, mid game, long game of marketing, because I think it's an episode in itself. But that longer game marketing is difficult to gauge, difficult to measure. But if you plan on being in business, you're going to need to spend the money. Some of these guys aren't going to close for a year, 2 years, 3 years. They need to hear your story. They need to touch your content 8 to 12 times before they're going to recognize you. Most of this stuff is cold. And we get clients particularly because of renewal time, urgency, pain, lots of pain. But without that, we wouldn't be such good salesmen. I got I got a message for a lot of us. I wasn't that good in the beginning, and
yeah,
wasn't for urgency. I wouldn't have made as many sales.
But look at the shortcuts we've taught people, right? Trojan Horse Solutions. You may not walk out with the broker record, but you could still get paid. And that doesn't take 8, 10, 12, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year cycles. That's a much faster payday, and you can get paid to audition. But that's another show.
That's a whole nother episode. So a couple more things. Obviously, speaking. If you're not comfortable with speaking, hire a coach. Have somebody else speak for you. Webinars, great way.
No, screw that. If you're not comfortable, jump in with both feet. Look, the success in life is to recognize that fear is the sign that that's exactly what you need, because that's how you stretch yourself. If you don't stretch yourself, you'll stay comfortable. You'll always make the same amount of money. You lose a case or two, and then somehow miraculously you replace it. And 1 year goes by, and 3 years go by, and 5 years go by, and 7 years go by. And your book, outside of trend, isn't growing. And your lifestyle is staying the same. And you always feel like you have more potential, but you don't actually face any of your fears and go, what lie am I telling myself on why I'm nervous about talking? I do open enrollment meetings, don't I? How come, you know, you've done 100 open enrollment meetings or 1,000, and yet you tell yourself that somehow it's different being on a stage. So my recommendation, if you're afraid of doing something, that is the sign. It's exactly what you should be doing, because that's how you get better.
Well, they want the authority. They want the guy in front of the room. So be cognizant of that. If you're not prepared, get prepared. Do other things in the meantime. Top of the funnel. Speaking is going to come down middle of the funnel. Top of the funnel is getting awareness out there, whether you're doing cold calling, you're doing emails, you're doing videos.
It direct brings mail. Them in.
Direct mail. I mean, listen, go backwards. A lot of things people are not calling anymore, so the phone might be more effective. It might be harder to get them on the phone, but I don't get that many cold calls anymore that like we used to, even on my cell phone. So try the phone. Try direct mail, different ways to get them into the funnel. Then you're going to drive them to a webinar, to a speaking event, so on and so forth. And then maybe you'll get them then, next year, the year after. But
walk that back for a second. So imagine I wanted to have a message to my target market, and I made a short video. Short. And its only intention was to speak to them, to make them go, wow, all right, she really understands me. And the idea was to send them to make them elect into your funnel to go watch a webinar. Well, what's a webinar? You know, I don't really like the word webinar. Why don't we just call it an educational class?
Masterclass.
I want them to go into a masterclass and educate themselves without any sales pressure from me.
Expert sessions. I have them on my site. You can run them. But, you know, the point is you've got to get them in, right? Top of the funnel. Then when you bring them in, you know, that's ungated content, right? They can view it. They don't have to give any information. They can look around the corner. Nobody's looking. Let me look at it. Then you have gated content, which is your expert sessions on your site, things like that, that they're going to now have to give you something, right? I'm giving you something. You got to give me something back. I at least need an email. And some of the bigger accounts as of recent are some of the bigger contacts that I've had in my career have all come from outbound marketing, bringing them in, but having things on the website, having that core story, having expert sessions, having articles out in the industry where when they Google me, the information's out there. I had somebody call and was like, oh, I read an article. I go, what article? I don't know, but I read an article. And I was like, okay, great. I don't know what article, because there were probably plenty of them out there. So
yeah, content. You need content.
And those were written 2 years ago, probably 2-3 years ago, maybe longer. So you've guys got to start putting information out to tell your story that may pay for you 2-3 years down the road, the bigger hit. So you may not get paid now, right? Short game, mid game, long game, but it's going to come. The marketing is telling your story, your message, who you are, validation. It's selling for you before you even get on the phone with them.
You just made a great point, right? You're talking about an article. Hell, I might have written it 2 years ago. Do all of your prospects read your stuff? No. They all have a full-time job. They got a busy life. I got this, that, the other thing going on. So guess what you get to do with your content? Reuse it, repurpose it, post it again and again and again, because you never know when somebody's looking at it. And everything in business is timing. When the timing's right for them, who are they going to think of? Well, if you've been consistent and persistent in your marketing, outside of the incumbent, you're likely the only one they're going to remember. Would you rather be ignored or?
We're going to keep marketing it to them because nobody else will. I remember you said that at your first event where I met you.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, nobody guys? Else will for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you had guys that have reached out to me and said, listen, I wanted to go to your event. I couldn't make your event, but I know you're our guy. And it drips on them. And like you said, it's when the time is right. I mean, the more and more, the longer I'm in business, more I realize I have it in the back of my head. I need to do it. Like, you know, tax strategist, I've been dying to get to it. And the whole fourth quarter, I just knew there's no way I'm going to get to it. So they've been reaching out to me to get it done. And I just refuse to deal with it because it's not the right time. But when that time comes, if they keep coming after me, they're going to catch me on the right day or the right week where I'm like, yes, thanks for reminding me because I forgot about it. So consistently putting it out and letting them know you're legit is a way to get them going, bring it in, right? Demonstrate your knowledge, demonstrate your authority, credibility, yeah, and what you know and your ideas. And, you know,
how about you just do a video for, you know, how much you can say in 3 minutes? You can say a lot, maybe 900,000 words. So you could just show your expertise on one little subject. Talk about, you know, adverse selection. That's a subject. Talk about pharmacy. That's a subject. Specialty med. DPC, you know, it's just a 3 minute boom and they're all, and you just want the audience, whoever is watching that, to go, I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
Let's go to sales. Well, that's marketing. That's how we bring them in.
Yeah.
Now you're talking conversion, which I would say is your specialty.
Conversion is all about, again, who your target market is. So if you're going to convert them, you got to be able to speak to them. You got to meet them where they're at. Find out what that is. Get them to share with you what their business aspirations are, what their personal goals are, what their business challenges are, and then get them to have confidence in you and certainty that you can deliver the message. If you come across as, and I've done this before, if you come across as you're just pursuing a sale, as opposed to I'm here to be a really good listener and a consultant, and help you solve problems, you know, that's going to impact your conversion. And so first thing you should do is measure your conversion. How many actual prospects do you get? Remember, if your marketing funnel isn't working really well, you're talking to tire kickers and looky-loos and what I call suspects. They're not really prospects. So you got to figure out how to optimize that. So ultimately, if somebody gets to you, they're a prospect. Now the question is, right, what can I do to convert them?
Yeah, qualifying them. First thing we have to do is qualify the prospect to see if they're full of it or not.
Yeah, a lot of them, right, what have I told you, right? A lot of the prospects are better salespeople than the brokers.
Well, I believed so many in my time and wasted so much damn time. And
yeah, we've all worked for free.
We talked about charging them a small fee. I mean, you don't even have to reach a consulting agreement with them, but if it's a smaller group that's under 50 lives, tell them, listen, it's $2,500. It's $1,000. Yeah. It's something. Just charge them $1,000 for the sheer fact to see how serious they are. I don't care if it's $500. If he strokes you a $500 check or a $1,000 check, he's serious about fixing his problem, right?
Right.
Ask the question, how serious are you about fixing this problem? Great. It's $1,000 for me to look at it. $2,500. I had a CFO, no, an owner tell me one time, well, what's $2,500 on a $750,000 healthcare spend for some ideas.
Remember the group in Kansas? So we fly to Kansas, John and I do. We do a talk to a pretty good size regional agency there. And the next day, young broker, because it's usually the young brokers who will try stuff because they don't have as much mud in their head as the old brokers. Average age of a healthcare broker in the United States, 57. Got a lot of bad habits in there.
You're over the average age. Is that what you're
saying? Damn, that's harsh. Young buck calls us up next day, says, oh my God, I tried it and it worked. They said, we wouldn't expect you. What was their answer? We wouldn't expect you to work for free. That's fine.
It's funny. It's just what they typically say. Well, we don't expect to work for free either.
Yeah.
Right. So the only ones that I get, well, geez, I wish we could charge our clients agreeing with what I'm doing. But it's like, I wish we could do that.
I completely missed the point.
So qualifying them, charging a small fee will help qualifying them out the gate. I also like to do an email or a call prior, a quick call. I don't want to blow the meeting, especially if it's a cold call. But sometimes I'll just call them out of the blue the day before, especially if I'm iffy about the situation, especially if it's far away. Okay. If this is a meeting that's far away.
Smart.
I'm going to qualify them and say, hey, listen, hey, just real quick. And I always like to use this line. I never like to use the line of I'm calling to confirm tomorrow's meeting. Gives them an out. It's basically saying, hey, I just want to call to see if you want to cancel tomorrow's meeting. And I had a chiropractic office call me one time. I thought it was phenomenal. I used it ever since. It says, Colin, I just want to let you know we're super excited to see you tomorrow. We can't wait to see you tomorrow, too. Great. Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. Right? That's my way of confirming meetings. Most of them I wouldn't confirm if they're close enough because I want to give them an out. But if they were further, 45 minutes or more away, I would do that just so I wasn't spending half the day in the car and back.
Yeah. Well, hey, and nowadays, you can Zoom call people. I mean, if you ask them, you just say, hey, would you prefer a Skype, a Zoom?
Yeah, it's another way to ask. Hey, listen, 15-minute Zoom, less invasive. Another way of, in advance, I would call them up and I would say, hey, listen, I just a couple quick questions before we come out tomorrow. I got a quick question. What's your total spend? You know, just a couple qualifying questions to get to their PEPY to see if there's anything I can even do from a saving standpoint, depending on what size they are. I mean, how many are enrolled? What's your total annual spend? You know, a couple quick questions that may lead me to her saying other things as well. And it just helps me qualify them up so I know what I'm getting into rather than coming in completely blind so I can prepare in advance with them. Or you can do it through email. You can send them a quick questionnaire to make sure our meeting is as effective as possible. Just have a couple quick questions if hoping you can answer. 3 to 5 questions that gives you a better idea, that gives you something to hit them with in the meeting and things you can actually rebuttal them with, especially in the meeting.
Yeah, everybody has a different approach there. I think you just test it, right? See if you want to do an advance questionnaire and see if it kills deals, kills appointments, or makes them better. Yeah, and if somebody's really motivated, they appreciate you actually investing before you even get there.
I like to call sometimes because I get to talk to them. But a lot of times my meetings were booked by telemarketers, so I haven't even had a conversation with them yet. So it gives me a quick call with them. I just ask a couple questions. So qualifying them. Once you get them there, I mean, again, it's a matter of questions. I think sales comes down to the right questions. And
yeah,
myself included, we all fail to ask the right questions. Most times we fall out of our way and want to tell everybody how smart we are. We fall for the broker traps of when they ask a question, we feel that.
John, how do you do that?
Yeah. We feel that's our opening to tell them how smart we are and how to do everything. And they fool us because now I catch myself doing it to other vendors now that call me and say, really, how do I do that?
Yeah, please answer my question and tell me how smart you are and give me free consulting.
What's a way that you'd go about it? Because I know you really dance around the answer of a questions without answering them a lot of times. I hear you.
Well, that's a show we did earlier in the year. No is a complete sentence. And so it's more of a philosophy I have. What I have found in talking to so many brokers is that many of them are afraid of their clients. They're also afraid of prospects. And so you can't go in to a sales meeting with that as your philosophy. And so you really have to believe that you're a peer. At a minimum, you're a peer. So when they ask you silly, inane questions that are just, you know, a habit, we've talked for 15 minutes and it really sounds interesting. And it's really, you know, and I'd like to talk to a reference. No, that's completely premature. All of our clients have full-time jobs. And then I go into my story about how I nicely put them off and say no. And if it's the last thing on your checklist that you have, and you've done all the due diligence that you need to want to partner with our agency, with our firm, whatever your talk is, right? And your boss expects you to have talked to a reference, and that's the last box you have to check, that's the appropriate time to speak to a reference. And every time I've walked them through that process, they all go, yeah, that's reasonable. They just asked out of habit. And what do the brokers do? Oh, sure, I've got 3 references. I mean, you can talk to them right away. You've talked to them for 15 minutes or maybe an hour meeting. No, you can't talk to a reference. That means that you don't have confidence and certainty what I told you. And somehow you think talking to a perfect stranger that may be a paid actor for all you know, right? It's the silliest example, but you gotta go into a meeting with the idea that you're a peer, and it's perfectly acceptable for you to say no to somebody.
What do we say? No is not denial, or delay is not denial.
Delay is not denial. Yeah. Not yet. That's okay. But then you got to give them a reason why. And they, if you do it well, they understand. They don't know what they're doing. They lack confidence. They're scared. They're fear of being judged. They're fear of losing control. They already hug their broker. They exchange Christmas presents. They go drinking. They go to ball games. They go golfing. And you want to disrupt that in a two-hour meeting.
Well, yeah. I think the first, we talk about the Trojan horse, and I talk about that first meeting asking them to get married. It's like, the first meeting is, there's no selling in the first meeting. It's not, I shouldn't say there's no, there's some selling them on you to get to the next step, but a lot of it is just questions and figuring out what the problem is and what you can do for them versus coming in and pitching them all these different things you can do when you don't really know much about them.
Yeah. You can't come in and give prescriptions and you don't know anything about it.
I set that out at the bank, opened a new bank account, and they stuck me to back with a financial advisor. And I just did it for the sheer factor of, let's just see what he's got. And he right away whipped out stocks on the computer. And I'm thinking, you have no idea about my risk profile. You have no idea of my goals. And here right. You are telling me about this hot stock. And right now this is happening and we've got these managers and this is why this is good. Like, you have no idea that I plan on using this money for a business and a real estate deal that I'm looking to do. And here you are pitching the stock. And it just reminded me of is when we use brokers come in and go, we're going to take you self-funded. We got RBP. We got this. We got that. It's like, you don't even know my goals. I'm not even here. I don't even want to lower healthcare costs.
You know, it's a great parallel story because I try to tell brokers or consultants, do not lead with we'll save you 15 to 20%, 20 to 30%, 40 to 50%. Don't lead with that. I was on a call with a broker one time and I loved the CFO, right? He was a ball buster, but he was so honest and true and direct. He goes, wait a minute. You don't know anything about our company, how we manage our benefits, and you're going to presume to tell me you can save me 15 to 20%. That's absurd, right? And it was like, thanks for telling that to the broker, because I do lots of conference calls because I'm brought in by brokers. And so the bigger point is, yeah, don't lead with savings, because now it just sounds like, right, what I talked about earlier, you're just there to pursue a sale. And so when you speak like that, it confirms their greatest suspicion about a meeting, a cold call, telemarketing, a stranger on the phone, stranger danger, you know, this guy's just trying to sell me. You can't be that way.
We gave some good questions out at High Stakes Advising, and the script is just getting them down the track of how to sell them, right? What questions asked. It's all about the questions, but I think we'll wrap it there. We talked a lot about sales and marketing. We'll get in depth in each one in another podcast here, but just a couple of points is keep the pipeline full. Sales is not marketing. In order to sell, you have to market. Take that money out of your pocket you're making in those commissions. Start spending it on some marketing this year. You might get yourself in front of more prospects. And then, you know, listen, if you want to convert more clients, you just need to see more people.
Let me leave you with a really important question. When you're thinking about airline flights, hotel, meals, entertainment, in another town, in another part of the country, to go to a conference, are there going to be any prospects there for you? Is your target market that you market to going to be there? HR people, CFOs. So before you go chasing squirrel, think about the limited resources you have and how you should maximize the return on your marketing dollars, because most people don't spend any percent on marketing, let alone 8 or 10 or 12% of their gross revenue on marketing. And so you got to really be stingy with those dollars and figure out what's the highest and best use of my cash flow to generate new revenue for my company next year.
Well, and with that, guys, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button below on the podcast. Subscribe. We'll see you in the Facebook group as well. Heads Up Advisor. We'll see you in the next one, guys.